It's a privilege to be with God's children and begin this year. And it's always a privilege to begin the year with the Word of God. And I want us to look at, if there's a title, I would give it as Experiencing God. Experiencing God. The first chapter of Matthew, we have the name of Jesus given to us. It is in verse 21. For she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Very clearly, in very unmissable and a very peculiar way, God has chosen the name Jesus. He could have chosen billions of other names. God who created billions of things, billions of lives and billions of creatures, chose this name, Jesus. He will save, the meaning of Jesus is, he will save his people from their sin. What does that mean? He will save his people from their sin. That means they cannot save themselves, though the world is trying. Everybody tries that. That is basically self-salvation. Everybody says, all the so many books written, some of the most successful books, best-selling books world over, are self-help books. I'm not saying self-help books are a waste, but all I'm saying is that self-help book cannot save ourselves. It is the grace of God. It is God who redeems us. Self-help book may help me to stand before people, but the confidence to stand before others comes from God. The unassailable fact that I am a child of God, that I am guarded by God, gives you the confidence no book can give you. The fact, the way he interacts with even Moses, saying, no man will stand before you. Joshua again, he tells, just as I did with Moses, I'll do to you. No man will stand before you all the days of your life. That no book can give you. Whether it is some of the best writers, they can begin to attempt, but at the end, it is God. So the name of Jesus is not an ordinary name. You and I use it often. So we may make it very ordinary. We may consider it very, familiarity breeds contempt, right? Familiarity breeds contempt. We think we know. Sit with anybody. You talk about a verse, immediate thing will be, I know that verse. Give me something new. What have you done with the knowledge of that verse? So we think we know. So even with the name of Jesus, we may think, I know. But the name of Jesus is our lifeline. See, he says he will save his people from their sins. What does it mean? That is, when they cannot save themselves, he comes in and saves his people from their sin. What does that mean? He's saying sin is like a net, like a bird caught in a net. You and I cry out, and God comes in graciously and saves us from our behaviors. I'll read you better, put by the word of God. Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. Hear that? I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, left alone by God, me. That is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, the desire is there, but the doing of the good is not. I don't want to speak the words that I speak. I don't want to think the filthy thoughts that I think, but the desire is there. The desire is there, but the ability to do it, carry it through, I don't have. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. Beginning of the year, so many resolutions made. I won't do this, I won't see this, I won't go there, I won't eat this. All it was all there, right? The resolutions. The desire was there. But the will was not there. The desire was there. The wanting was there. But to carry it through, carry it through, carry it through. See? But verse 20, but if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I'm no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me, over which I have no control. Verse 23, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? The cry of humanity all through the ages. Even now, the greatest cry is not for an increase in salary. It's not a better lifestyle. There may be cries, but the real need, you know, these may be felt needs, emotionally felt needs, but the real need is of this wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. The cry. See, verse 23, I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So what I'm saying, this Jesus is not an object of worship alone. He has to become an experience. This redemption story of you and I being in bondage, being in a trap, being in a pit from which we cannot come out of our own, in spite of the best of self-help books. The word comes out. The word that I will not use ever in my home to the people in my life, I use it half an hour after I made that decision. 1 hour after I made the decision, I will not go into this site, website, filthy stuff, I'm already gone back to the filth. I've gone back to the filth. I've gone back to the filth. Woe unto me. The desire to be clean is there, but my body, the inner sin, the inner man in me is so sinful, it draws me back to sin. So, what I'm saying is, this Jesus, is not an object of worship. He is an experience that is an invitation for you and me to experience him as the Redeemer. He will save his people from their sin. If you want to add a byline, it is when they cannot save themselves with the best of self-help books or teachers, with the best of positivity world that can give, they cannot get out of this, the crime, the crisis of their mind, the filth that is filling them. That is the cry of humanity. And Jesus says, I have a way out. Jesus. And then the next name given to us, 23, Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us. We know, we all know that, right? We know Jesus, we know Emmanuel. You know, you can be in the middle of the sleep and your family can wake you up and ask you, you'll say, Emmanuel, God with us. That's not the challenge at all. The challenge is for you and me to experience Jesus as the one who saves us from our sin. And Emmanuel, God with us, to become an experience. Until he becomes an experience, a daily life experience, it is no use worshiping Jesus and Emmanuel. It is no use, because you have not, it's no use having an account in a bank when your father's wealth has not been accessed. See, your heavenly father has deposited, you know, all the money that you could need, ever need, in a bank account, and has given you the keys, the checkbook, the password, but you and I have not accessed it. Just saying, I have Jesus, I have Emmanuel, means nothing, my friend, until you access the strength, the power of that name, the power of the name, in the name above all names. Every knee and every tongue is going to bow down one day and call him as Lord God. And it's not only this, all of the names of God, all of the names of God. Let me read a few of the names. All of the names of God. Let me read a few. Elohim, Creator God. Adonai, Lord Master, Elroy, the God who sees me, were all experiences. Are all experiences. El Shaddai, Almighty God, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide who? For who? Abraham, when he has nothing. For redeeming his son, there needs to be a provision. And the provider is Jehovah Jireh. See, we all want healing, right? So we go, we call on the name, you know, Jehovah Rapha, because we see somebody receiving it. We see somebody saved, somebody redeemed, somebody rescued, somebody provided. For somebody, Jehovah Shalom. In the midst of a storm, they are in peace. And so you want that peace, because you are in the midst of a storm now. But you and I do not, if we do not know that all of these promises were in the midst of trials, when they came to their very end, literally meaning they could not save themselves from their sin. They could not redeem themselves from their crisis. Abraham, he could not provide for an offering. How could he? For the son that was given to him, his faith was, it will be provided on the mountain of God. And God provides. So he gets to take home Isaac. See, what I'm saying is, we want the other aspects of God, as God as a provider, God as a healer, God as our refuge, all the things, okay? But all of it stems from that place of helplessness, from that place of God showing himself as Jesus, saving us from our sins, our limitations, from our failures. That is when God becomes really God of our lives. Otherwise, until then, it's a doctrine. It's a philosophy. At the best of it, it's a belief. At the best of times, the worst of times, it's a philosophy. Many philosophies of the world, one more philosophy. Until it becomes a personal experience, God is not God in your life and my life. See, you're entering a new year. You'll need Rapha. You'll need Jaira. You'll need Shalom. You'll need Elroy. For even Ishmael is God who hears, right? God who hears. Heard of the Lord or God who hears. Experiences of people defines God is revealing himself through the experiences over the years. And he is waiting to reveal himself to us through our experiences, through the mountain that is standing before you today. It may be a huge mountain. Everybody has run away from your side. Everybody. It either happens today or it's going to happen tomorrow. Or later this year, people, your family is going to desert you and say, he got into it, he'll get out of it. It's his headache. I told him so. Easy. Brothers will abandon brothers. Sisters will abandon sisters. Family will abandon. But this Jesus stays and rescues. The endings become beginnings. He says, now that everybody has left you, he stays around people who are ending. In fact, with Lazarus, he stayed long enough for him to really die. So that he didn't even go at the ending. He went after the ending. So that everybody will know it is not Lazarus coming back. It is not his diet or exercise regimen that brought him back. It is God and God alone. Rescues of God are the way God reveals himself. So if you and I are facing this year, a real cry has to be, Lord, let me have the wisdom, the humility to accept your invitation to enter your rescue, to let you in to rescue me, invite you to rescue me. Because the world, the rest of the world is busy trying to save themselves. See, finances are getting hard. World is getting to a crisis point. Wars are beginning. Earlier it was rumors. Now it is actual wars that have started, right? It's going to increase. They're all choosing sides. People are deciding whose side should I be on or whose side I should not be on. What can I get from this group? What can I get from this group? Nations are weighing the bets. Which is the better team to take? That's what's happening. It's going to be crisis time. In the midst of it, human heart is going to be on self-salvation mode. In spite of the fact that you and I cannot save ourselves. In spite of the fact that the circumstances we are in are not in our hands to be delivered. The army of Israel, 40 days, they ran up to the front, 40 days, like sprint, expert sprinters, they ran back. to the tent because the enemy is so big. Enemy has managed to isolate everyone, thousands of warriors, but each of them being made to think it is their battle. It is their individual battle because they have put up one guy. If the whole army came, they would have fought this differently. If the whole army of Philistines came, it would have been an easy one. But they sat back and they said, one. They're nullifying the team. They're isolating me and they're making me stand alone against this giant who is humongous. You will face those days this week, or this month, certainly this year, when you will be isolated so much. And what do? We go into self-salvation mode. We try to save ourselves with our own tools. Saul tried to give him all his gadgets. What I'm saying is, begin to acknowledge you cannot save yourself from yourself. The sin that pervasive within us, answer is Jesus. He waits till we come to the end of ourselves. End of ourselves. Abraham, until the very end, is given up hope. God gives. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist. At the end, he's at the very end. He's before the Holy of Holies. To my mind, I don't think even he was praying that prayer, standing there. His prayer, his grief was, after me, there's no one to stand before this Holy of Holies. It came generationally, the priesthood. There's none to stand before you. In my family, it dies with me. God hears these decades of prayer. Is answered at the very moment. At the very moment, he's about to give up. All through Joseph, so many betrayal, the hardest emotion, human emotion. Betrayal, right? Family betraying. And then he serves the master, betrayed there, betrayed in prison again. God brings us to the very end before he lifts us, does the redemption in our lives. And then he proves himself as the provider, as the Rapha. He let you go to the doctors. He let you go to the other providers that you think will provide until the day they fail. They stop providing. And then he does the redemption. So the names of God from the beginning to the end, numerous names of God are all invitations for God, from God, for us to experience. But the beginning of it has to be Jesus. He saves us from our sins. Very simple terms. If Jehovah Jireh was not enough to reveal God, Jesus is enough to reveal God. Jesus is complete. Emmanuel is complete. Begin here. Then you can experience Jireh, Rapha, Elroy, everything else, the other attributes of God, the other manifestations of God, the characters of God. You will experience, all of those are waiting to be experienced. But if you short-circuit the process and say, I want all of those things in my life, I still want to be the Lord of my life. It doesn't happen that way, my friend. It doesn't happen that way. God doesn't reveal himself. Let himself be bargained that way. He will not give you all the things and still fail in the very core. Moses had to be stripped of everything. 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 He becomes a nomad, basically a shepherd. And there, God works with them, begins with them. So my invitation this year, beginning of the year, knowing that this year is going to be full of interesting seasons. God's children are safe only when God is the Lord of our lives. All our lives, all our areas, complete. We may have let him in, but not let him in incompletely. The invitation this morning is to invite him to be the rescuer that he is meant to be, the redeemer that he is meant to be. And then you will experience Emmanuel. Then you will experience the miracles that we have seen in the Bible. We will see that happen. Experiences of God, amazing turnarounds. Path through the wilderness, river in the wilderness, waters parting, mountains moving, angels all around you. All of this are our need, but it begins with Jesus, who alone can save us from our sins. Shall we pray? Father God, this morning, as we begin this year, we come to you. We need you more than we realize. I pray for everyone on this call and others who may hear of this through these. If there's anyone here who has not experienced Jesus, help us to experience Jesus fully, completely this morning. Give the wisdom to invite you, Lord, to rescue them as the rescuer, the one who saves his people from their sin. Help us, help the one to get down on the knees and to invite you as his Lord or her Lord and Savior this very moment. And doing that, having done that, Lord, take the child by the hand and walk through this year, and may no mountain, no giant, no enemy, no man, no woman be able to stand before them the rest of their lives, as you promised to Joshua, and as you proved it to Moses, and as you proved it to thousands and thousands of your children over human history. In Jesus' name we pray.